would just show up in a mighty way, and we believe he already has. And so we're excited today. We're excited about what Easter means, more than the Easter bunny, more than the eggs, more than the candy, more than the dinner you're about to have, the desserts you're about to have, the naps you're about to have, more than all that, right? We're excited about what it means. And so just to tag on to what Pastor Zach's saying about the Living Free, just to tell you a little bit about it, we have a heart for our community. We have the heart for this area, and we want to see people free from whatever they carry in life. All of us usually carry something. There's some of us that carry anger. There's some of us that carry grief. There's some of us carry bitterness. There's some of us that carry addictions in our life. And what Living Free is, it's going to be a small group-based just a study. As we walk through classes, and someone will be in how to deal with grief. Someone will be how to deal with anger. Someone will be how to be free from addictions. And so what we see valuable in this is a small group setting, you get to be with people who are going through the same situation. And what we do is we take that group of people, we walk through a study through scriptures, and we learn how we can live in freedom. And it's very powerful, and we're offering this up to our community. And so we need help in doing this. And so that's what this coming Saturday, that's what this is about. Just go through a training, and we actually go through a training and experience how they want it taught, and we experience what we'll be doing. And so I encourage you, if you've got any questions or if you're at all interested, come this Saturday. If you come this Saturday, that does not mean you're signing up for life. That means you're just interested. And maybe after a training, like, okay, this is not for me. But maybe after a training, like, yeah, I'm all in. So I encourage you, think about it, pray about it. Come this Saturday, the training, it's going to be great. This morning, I want to start off with a very, very simple question for you. Why did you come to church today? Think about it. Why? Why did you come to church today? I mean, obviously, it's Easter. But why did you come to church? What were you hoping for today? What do you want God to do in your life? Or what do you need God to do in your life? I'm sure if I asked like five of you, I'd probably get five different answers of why you're here today. For some of you, your life has been transformed by the love and grace of God, and you're here to celebrate a risen Savior. You'll get afterwards, you'll go up front, you'll take the picture, you get the family, right? Hashtag, he is risen. You know, wonderful day in the church, right? And for you, that's what this is about. You go to grandma's house, you'll eat way too much, hopefully you'll take a nap. And so it's tradition. You celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. But I want you maybe just for a second to cut through the Easter traditions and just be real honest. There are probably some of you here because you feel obligated. I mean, Jesus, yeah, he did a lot for us, so at least I can do is show up at Easter and Christmas. And then some of you here, that you're not really a church person, but you got that one annoying family member. Come on. And you don't want there to be drama around the holidays, like, okay, fine, I'll go. But would you just think for yourself and be honest for yourself right now, why did you come to church? What are you hoping for? What do you want God to do in your life? What do you need God to do in your life? Because you guys, honestly, from right here, you look really good today. I mean, Pastor Zach even combed his hair today. I mean, that's a big deal. You know something special is happening when that happens. You guys look great on the outside, but some of you, not so good on the inside. Some of you walked in this Easter Sunday hurting. Some of you maybe have experienced a loss. Some of you may be ashamed of the choices you've made in the past few days. Some of you are angry. Some of you are frustrated. So why did you come to church today? If we're being honest, if we go beyond the Easter bunny and eggs, some of us are in need. Be real honest, a lot of us are hurting in some way. Or we know some loved one in our life that's hurting in some way. So what we've been doing at Brighton the past few weeks is we've been talking about some promises God has given us. This book is full of promises, if you didn't know that. And they're just for you. And they're amazing promises. They're powerful promises. If you can grab hold of them, they will change your life. Promises God wrote directly to you. Scripture says God was thinking of you when he wrote some of these promises out. That's what's so amazing. Today I want to look at a promise that comes from the Bible. It's probably the most quoted Bible verse in history. You see this verse everywhere. If you remember when Tim Tebow was playing football, he'd actually write this Bible verse under his eyes. Anybody know what Bible verse we're talking about? John 3:16, come on. You don't even have to be a Christian to know this one, right? Like non-Christians can tell you from memory what John 3:16 is. And that's a promise we're going to look at today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Look, I love how the New Living Translation puts it. Look at it this way. It says this, for this is how God loved. This is how God loved the world. That our loving God gave his one and only son so that, look at that next word, so that this a certain population, so that if you qualify, so that if you look good enough, so that if you never mess up in your life, so that what? So that everyone, I love that word, everyone. Everybody. Everybody's included. Everybody's, come on. Everybody qualifies. Everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. How many of you believe that God loves the world? Raise your hand. Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. About 90%. There's some of you need to work on, but not bad. So I grew up in church. I know some of you did, but I grew up in church. And growing up in church, I believed that God loved the world. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do, right, as a good Christian boy. But if I was being honest, there was days I wasn't sure God loved me. Ain't that funny? Like, yeah, God loves the world, but me? Anybody else ever felt that way? I know he could love everybody. I know he could love the world, but I just wasn't sure how he could love me because I knew what I've done. I knew the choices I made. I knew my spiritual doubts. I knew how bad I was. And so, of course, God can love the world, but, I mean, how could God love me with the way I've acted? I hope to show you today, no matter what you've done, no matter how dark your life feels, that you are the one that Jesus loves. Jesus tells us this parable, and some of you have heard this before. In Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 4, it says, if a man has 100 sheep, one of them gets lost, what do you do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for the one that's lost until he finds it? And when he found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together all of his friends, neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there's more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and have strayed away. That's for you. Do you understand what this parable is saying? It's a promise that you're the one Jesus loves. You're the one. So right there, it combats the whole notion, yeah, I believe God can love the world, but God can't love me because I've been a knucklehead. That says that thinking is wrong. That says God's going to leave the 99 goody-two-shoes and come after me for being a knucklehead. I know it doesn't make sense, but that's what it says. That says you're the one he loves. How powerful is that? And what's amazing about Jesus is he didn't promise his love. He proved his love. Listen, on Wednesday nights, our Bible study, we're going through 1 John, the book of 1 John. And I want to show you a very special verse in 1 John, 1 John 4:8. It tells us who God is. anyone who does not love does not know God. Because look at this last part. This is a very special part I want you to see. Because, why? Because God is love. In other words, love isn't just what God does. That's who He is. He is love. And that's all He knows how to show. And God is love, and God showed it by living among us. He demonstrated it in that He sent His one and only Son in the world that we might have life through Him. That's love. That God is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us, sent His Son Jesus as a sacrifice for our sins. That God loved us so much. Listen, that is a foundational verse. That's one verse you can always go back to. When you're having doubts about, well, I think God left me, God's not hearing my prayers, God's not answering me, blah, 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 blah. Go back to 1 John 4. It should be a highlighted verse in your Bible. Okay, a little Bible trivia for you this morning. Who do you think wrote 1 John? It's kind of in the name. Come on, folks. Some of you need some caffeination this morning. Who do you think wrote 1 John? John, yes, John. Not John the Baptist, but John, one of the disciples. Okay? John. And so, can anybody tell me John's nickname? John had a nickname in the Bible. John and his brother, they had two brothers, James and John. They had a nickname that Jesus gave them. Anybody know it? Sons of Thunder. I mean, come on. If you want a nickname, bro, it doesn't get better than Sons of Thunder. I mean, what do you think of when you're Sons of Thunder? I mean, they even had their own walking music, you know, the AC/DC playing, Thunderstruck. I mean, they're walking in. I mean, this is who they were, right? I mean, you think of, they're not meek and mild, okay? They are Sons of Thunder. These were tough guys. These were rough guys. These were loud guys, right? I want to share you a story that gives you a little context of why they got this name, okay? So Luke chapter 9, verses 52 to 54, it says, He sent messengers ahead to Samaria village to prepare for His arrival. But the people of the village did not welcome Jesus because He was on His way to Jerusalem. When James and John saw this, so when the Sons of Thunder saw this, they said to Jesus, Lord, should we call down fire from heaven to burn them up? I mean, that's a Sons of Thunder move right there. I mean, that's not meek and mild. Like, let's fry them, right? They rejected you. Let's burn them. Come on, we all think that sometimes. We all want to be a little Sons of Thunder every once in a while. You don't get like, Lord, let's just be love and grace and mercy. No, no, no. Lord, You want us to call down fire and destroy them. That's what they get. I mean, that's a Son of Thunder, right? That's what you expect. So how did this Son of Thunder go from, Lord, let me call down fire, to God is love? I mean, that's quite a transition, isn't it? Because you would think the Sons of Thunder, I mean, if He would love back then, He would have loved them, not let's burn them. But now He goes to, in 1 John, this is God is love. That's just who He is. I mean, his whole life, John was the guy who didn't just start the fight. He finished the fight. He was rude. He was harsh. He was violent. So what happened? What changed John? Well, John started spending time with Jesus. Every moment, every day, Jesus loved John. Jesus loved him. Jesus loved John as a Son of Thunder. You know what that means? Whenever John crossed the line, Jesus loved him. Whenever John might have done something inappropriate, like try to call down fire from heaven to burn somebody up, Jesus loved him. And Jesus kept loving him, just as he was. And we don't know when. It probably took a lot longer than we think. It took a lot of love for sure. But somewhere along that journey, John's identity started to change. Okay, how do we know that? Well, John started calling himself by another name. Okay, so Jesus gives him Sons of Thunder, coolest nickname ever. But then John starts calling himself by another name. Three times in the gospel, John called himself the one that Jesus loved. Okay, you just thought Sons of Thunder was a cool nickname. The one that Jesus loved? I mean, how good is that? I mean, that is, that, I love that nickname. Because what it shows a different John, doesn't it? It shows a humble John. A proud John. He's like, I'm the one. I'm the one he left the 99 for. I'm the one that Jesus loves. No longer John the hothead. No longer John the screw up. No, no, no. I'm John, the one that Jesus loved. I mean, that's powerful. Listen, I don't know why you came to church today. I don't know what you're hoping for. But what do you want God to do in your life? What do you need God to do in your life? Some of you need to know that you're the one that Jesus loves. You're the one that Jesus loves. Listen, no matter what someone else has said about you, no matter what they made you feel like, no matter how they made you feel about yourself, no matter how much you failed, no matter who you hurt or what you said or what you did that you think you can't undone, you need to hear this morning. You're the one. You're the one that Jesus loves. This is not pride. This is the truth. He loves you. You are the one. The worship team need to come join me this morning. Somebody like, hey, listen, dude, I'm just here. Make my wife happy. Make mama happy. Make grandmama happy. I believe you're here because of a divine appointment. You need to know you are the one. You're the one he's chasing after. You're the one he's been following around. You're the one he's seeking after. You're the one. He left the 99. You're the one because he wants to know, he wants you to know he loves you. Okay, well, Pastor, how does all this fit into Easter? What I want you to understand is that God didn't just shout his love from heaven, but he showed his love here on earth. Romans 5:8 tells us just very directly that God demonstrated his own love for us. Look at it. But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, in that while you were still making mistakes, in while yet you were still refusing to recognize him, in while yet you were doing things you knew were not right, in while yet you were being the knucklehead, he still died for you. While you were still lost, he still died for you. While you were seeking after your own kingdom, he still died for you. While you were still hating, while you were still comparing yourself on social media, he died for you. While you were still harboring bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart, he died for you in that moment. And the gospel of good news is that Mary gave birth to a son, called him Jesus. And guess what? He didn't come to condemn us like we deserved, but he came to save us. He healed the sick. He befriended prostitutes. He loved lepers. Jesus willingly walked into the arms of the person who was going to betray him. He suffered emotionally, anguishly in the Garden of Gethsemane on that night. Jesus did not resist arrest, but he did not defend himself, although he was completely innocent at trial. He subjected himself to physical, emotional torture, where the creation actually spat on the creator. They mocked him. They made fun of him. They put a crown of thorns on him. They whipped him. They beat him again and again. Roman soldiers drove spikes to his hands, to his feet. And Jesus, the innocent, sinless Son of God, hung naked on the cross for hours. In the heat of the day, excruciating pain, muscles would have been cramping, would have been dehydrated, would have been in shock. You know what the real torture of the cross is? It suffocates you to death. Because the way they position you and the way they nail the hands and the feet, you're hanging there and you can't breathe. And so what literally happens with that nail through both of your feet, you have to push up. Put all that weight on the nail that's in your feet to get a breath. So you push up, and you only take it for a moment, and you drop back down. He did that for hours on the cross. In that pain, in that suffering, he looks up to heaven and says, Father, please forgive them. They don't know what they do. Can I ask you this morning, that pain, that suffering, what would motivate somebody to do that? To go through all that when they didn't have to? What could motivate somebody to do that? And the only answer I can come up with is love. God demonstrated, God showed it, God displayed his love for us while we were rejecting him. Jesus died for us. So yeah, you're the one. You're the one Jesus loves. Jesus said this of himself. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for a life of a friend. Listen, there's no greater love in the history of the world than the love God showed us through Christ so we could be forgiven. On the cross, Jesus was thinking of you when he said, it's finished. He's saying, God, I did everything you sent me to do. And he looked up to heaven and he said, into your hands I commit my spirit. Breathe this last breath. Some people, well, Christ didn't really die, that's why, blah, blah, blah. Listen, the Roman soldiers were very good at their job. You want to know why they were very good at their jobs? Because if that person on the cross did not die, they would die. So they were very good at their job. So he was dead, took him to the grave, sky went dark. But we're here today because that was not the end of the story. We're here today because 3 days later, when the women went to the tomb, the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. We understand Jesus was not there. God raised him from the dead. Well, God didn't really, come on, over 500 people saw Jesus. Okay, over 500 people saw Jesus after he died. Okay, talk about the disciples before and after. Before, they weren't much of nothing. After, they were convicted. I mean, they had some guile about them. They went out across the country. You know, every one of them died horribly except for John. You don't do that unless you believe in what you saw. They believed it. Oh, and what about the women who found them in the tomb? Okay, back then, women's testimony was not allowed in court because they didn't believe them. And so all these things, over 500 people, the testimony of the ladies, the what the disciples did after, we know this for a fact, that Christ was raised from the grave. Because of that, we can have eternal life. Jesus was a sinless sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. So I'm going to ask you again, please be honest this morning. Why did you come to church today? What were you hoping God would do? What do you need God to do this morning? Some of you are desperate right now. Some of you are about ready to give up. Some of you are hurting. Some of you are trying to smile on the outside. You put on nice clothes, but inside your heart is breaking. Some of you feel alone. Some of you feel afraid. Some of you feel trapped. Some of you feel like there's no hope left. You have doubts. You got questions. You feel ashamed. You feel unworthy. But you need to hear this morning. You're the one. You're the one Jesus loves. You're the one he's been looking for. You're the one he did all this because of you. He wants you to know this morning how much he loves you. You walked in here, I'm not worthy, I'm just doing this. This is tradition. Pastor, you don't know what I did this past week. You don't know the life I've lived. I don't know, but all I know is you're the one. You're the one. believe it, you're the one. Listen, you're like, well, Pastor, I don't feel His love. I want to remind you, love is not a feeling. It's a promise. It doesn't matter what you feel, but by faith, you believe that you're the one that Jesus loves. You're the one. Can you imagine a God that is so good, a God that is so loving, a God that is so compassionate that would send His Son to suffer, the innocent one, the perfect sacrifice to die in our place, so that anyone, let me say that one more time, so I know some of you are hard-headed, anyone, there are no qualifications. You disqualified yourself. He hasn't. It says anyone believes in Him would not perish but have eternal life. No matter what you've done, no matter how dark your life has been, no matter how far from God, you're the one. You're the one. Won't you stand with us this morning? You thought you were just coming to sit through another service so you can go eat and take a nap. That's wrong. Listen, this is divine appointment for you to realize you're the one. Some of you think of yourself so low. You give yourself no credit. You're like, I'm not even worthy enough to be called one of His. Guess what? He's looking for you. He wants you. He died for you. He sent His Son for you. Are you getting the picture this morning? It's all about you. The enemy's got you so far down, you think nothing of yourself. God is searching for you. He wants a relationship with you. Why? Because you're the one. You're the one. Put the smile on His face. You're the one He's going to throw a party for. You're the one He wants. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy this morning. Oh, you're too far gone. You screwed up too many times. You don't deserve this. Guess what? We don't. And He still did it. That's the beautiful thing about it. You're the one. You're the one. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray this morning. Lord, I don't know why we walked in here this morning. But Lord, I pray right now there's some that have thought so little of themselves. They thought, I have nothing to offer. I don't deserve it. I don't. God, would You speak to their hearts right now and let them know You're the one. Lord, that You're at the edge of Your seat this morning, hoping that they would come forward and accept You. That they would come forward and just allow You to shower them with Your love this morning, God. That You're ready to throw a party in their honor today. Because that's how much You love them. They're the one. They're the one. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I pray right now. Lord, by Your power, by Your grace, by the presence of Your Holy Spirit, that You would reveal deep down in our hearts by faith, how much You love us. Lord, I pray right now, if there's any in here, or they walked in, they've already disqualified themselves. They say, I'm just here out of tradition. I'm just here so doesn't get mad at me. And they think they're not worthy. Lord, right now, You speak to their hearts. Let them know they are loved. Oh, Jesus. Right now, Lord. Here this morning, you walked in and you disqualified yourself. I'm just here to make so and so. I'm just here after. I'm just here to get the picture. I'm just here. Listen, you're worthy. You're worthy of His love, so much so He sent His Son to die. And we celebrate His Son conquered death this morning. So this morning, would you just turn to Him? Would you turn to Him? Would you accept His love this morning? Romans says that if you just call out, anyone who calls His name shall be saved this morning. This morning, drifted away from the Lord. Maybe you once had a relationship with Him, but you've drifted, you made mistakes, you've lived your own choices. But today you know He still wants you. He still wants a relationship with you. I want to ask, would you come this morning? I want to ask you to do something so bold this morning on Easter Sunday that you'd come to the altar. And to bow your knee to Him. You say, Lord, I've been living for myself. Lord, I wrote myself off. I give up because I didn't think I qualified. But today I know. I know I'm the one. Oh, I know I'm the one. I know I'm the one. I'm the one that Jesus loves. Would you come? Would you accept that love this morning? I promise you won't be alone. I promise there'll be somebody to pray with you. But don't miss this chance. Don't disqualify everybody. Everybody's welcome. Everybody qualifies this morning to receive His love. If you want to receive His love, would you come? Swallow that pride like John did. John went from son to thunder to I'm the one. I'm the one Jesus loves. He swallowed that pride. He took a big step. I'm asking you this morning, swallow that pride. Take a big step towards Jesus this morning. Let Him change your life, because you're the one. You're the one He's waiting on. You're the one He's searching for. Would you come this morning? Would you come?